The title of this message is Up or Down, Determining Your Marriage Destiny. I want to call your attention tonight to three little words that ultimately do determine the direction and the destination of your marriage. And to start with, I want to read something that doesn't seem like it has a lot to do with that, but I want to read it right here from 1 John, the first chapter. I'm just going to start right here in verse 1 and read a few verses. This says, reading from the New American Standard, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." Then he says in verse 4, "These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." And then it goes on in verse 5. This is a great chapter in the Word. One of my favorites here in verse 5. "This is the message that we've heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Of course, I've talked to you about that before a little bit. I like that verse because it just talks about the simplicity of Christ. If you want to sum it all up, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. What more do you need to know? I mean, there's nothing bad about Him. There's no shadow. There's no ugly side that you're going to get to if you push Him hard enough. There's none of that. He's light and in Him is no darkness at all. But back to these three words, because these three words are kind of contained in what I just read there, and these are three very important words, and they determine where you're going and how you get there. So the first word is this word called see, S-E-E. Boy, it's a small word, but it's just hyper, hyper important. It's important what you see. It's important how you see it. It's important sometimes the attitude with which you see something. And, you know, I could ask this question, how do you see certain things? How do you see God? Because you could see God as a mighty God, a God that's able and willing to work on your behalf and accomplish things for you and all powerful, or you could see Him as a weak and wimpy God who you can't really seem to find when you need Him. A lot of it has to do with how you see Him. Do you see this little God and a big devil? And you and your spouse, you know, just as insignificant players in this game of life, and you can't really get there from here? A lot of it is how you see it. Do you see a big God when things are going your way and a little God when things aren't? How do you see things? But particularly, how do you see God? We're talking about God just to start with. Is He a powerful God that helps you overcome all the adversities of your life? Is He? So, something to think about. Do you believe that God will come through for you most of the time or all of the time? Do you? You have to ask yourself this question. Maybe He'll come through for you if you're good enough or you perform a certain way. Enter religion. See, a lot of the direction of your life will be determined by how you see God or how you see your situation. And boy, you could recall countless stories through the Word of places, you know, even back in the Old Covenant where He said, "You know, Lord, open His eyes, let him see reality here. He's seeing this from an angle that He can see, but it's blocked. There's a blockage there. But if you open His eyes, let him see this other side. There's another facet to this that's much, much different than what He's thinking." So one of the best ways to see God is to see Him in His Word. Oh, it's so good. It's rich. Can you see your marriage being a happy one? Now, I mean, right now, even when it doesn't seem happy. Because there was a time it was happy. Did you lose that sight? What happened? Can you see your marriage being a happy one? Can you see you and your spouse fulfilling the will, plan, the purpose of God for your marriage? Can you see that? Because it is a first step. You have to see this. You have to take the high road. I'm giving you permission to get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Take that high road. Can you see yourself healed from that thing that bothers you? Can you see yourself healed? Can you visualize that? Because it's important that you do. The plan of God. I was thinking about some of these things even today, and I thought, what happens if you can't? What happens if you can't see this? Well, I just put down here, if you can't see things like this, maybe you need to get your head examined. Now, let me explain, because I usually try to paint myself in a corner and then work my way out, so hang on. You need to get your head examined. Here's why. If you can't visualize that, if you can't get that vision of that back, if you can't see that happen, if you can't see the big God, the happy marriage, the success going over the top, if you can't, you have a vision problem. You literally have an eye problem. I know what it's like, and you do too, probably to go to the eye doctor. You go to the eye doctor because you need your eyes fixed. Well, the scriptural way to have your eyes fixed is to fix your eyes on Jesus. You just fix them. And Jesus is the Word. He's just the Word made flesh. So you need to have, just like when you go to that doctor's office, that eye doctor's office, and they sit you in that chair and they put your chin on that rest and they put these things in front of your eyes and they do all this stuff, you're having your head examined. And you need to have your head examined by the Word of God. You may have an eye problem. You may have a vision problem that needs correcting. And this is the corrector. This is like the thing that they put in front of you and they say, you want one or two? Do you want verse one or verse two? Maybe you need to have your vision corrected by the Word of God because it's a great corrector. It's a mirror, it even says. It'll help you. You can fix your eyes on Jesus right in here. But your eye problem sometimes is literally an I, like the letter I problem. It's a you problem. It's I. Sometimes your eye problem is you've got too many I. Well, I can do this. I. It's me. I did. Look at what I did. I did. Maybe your eye problem is that kind of eye. And maybe you need less of you and more of him. Maybe you need to be demoted a little and let him be promoted a little bit. You might have that kind of an eye problem. But in either case, what you see and how you see things is important. His Word reveals who he really is. It also reveals how he thinks, how he handles certain situations. It's all through the Word. It reveals what he really does in given circumstances and how he'll react. You know, God is not this unpredictable God. He's given himself plenty of leeway in the Word, but he sticks to his Word. He'll follow what he said. He'll do what he said he would do. And that's good news for us. That's really, really good news, because if he healed somebody over here, well, glory to God, it's no different for me. He can heal me. If he fixed this marriage over here, well, he can fix mine. Now I have to yield to it. I have to give myself to it. But he can do those things. He's a big God. Amen. To try to know God or understand God apart from his Word is absolutely ridiculous. It would be like trying to drive your car without the steering wheel. You can't do that. Oh, you'll go a little ways, but then you'll crash. You can't know God without the Word of God. God is not this old covenant God, the God with a big stick ready to knock you and your family and your kids out, take you out so he can advance somebody else. But see, if you don't have the proper vision of God, if you don't have the right sight of God, it's easy to get back into old covenant religion and think that that's the way God operates today. And it's not. I love what Andrew Womack says. God's not mad at you. He's not even in a bad mood. He's just not in a bad... He loves you. He's got great plans for you. But you also play a part in that and have to see it. So we're talking about the word see. What do you see? Is God a big stick God? A guy ready to pounce on you? I believe he's a God that invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace and to find the thing that we're looking for right when we need it. But glory to God, I've got the ability to go right to him. Say, God, I know you already know this, but I got to get this off my chest. I just want to tell you this. And he'll sit and listen and listen and listen, and then so faithful to just reveal a solution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more you know His Word, the better you will know Him and His true nature. But we've got to see Him correctly. So we're talking about the word see. And then secondly, I have to quickly come along and say, how do you see yourself? You're the second category. You yourself are the second category here. It's not just how you see God, but how do you see yourself? See, the Bible says, as a man or a woman thinks in his heart, so is he. So are you a winner? Are you a champion? Are you this overcomer, or are you not? If your vision of yourself is one of gloom and defeat and down and the mully grubs and all that, guess what, honey? You're going to have to take the initiative and snap out of it. You've got to come to yourself. Now, you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't think highly of yourself. Let's face it. Let's just get real here for a second. Think about this. You are awesome. God made you. You are awesome. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Man, He had you in mind. You're what He wanted. You're the end result that He was trying to get to when He was making stuff. Man, He said, I got to do this. But man, that's what I'm looking for. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the end result of what I was trying to accomplish. Right there, I'm so proud of that. That's what I was after. You're awesome. God's on your side. You're not just something that fell off the creation table and landed on the floor. He made you the way you are. He's got plans for you. I tell you, and there's some of you in here tonight that need to hear this right here. God likes you just the way you are. Now, you can't hang out with Him and His Word and not be changed and become more like Him, but He likes you just the way you are. Right now, with all your faults and your glitches and your failures and your all the stuff, He already accounted for all of that and put it all on Jesus so that He could get you, because you're what He's after. You're what He's after. Not just the good and the bad that you can do. He wants you. See, religion will always look at the outside, but God always looks at the inside. It's an inside job. I remember, I think I've said this even in here before, back when Martha Stewart had her big thing and went to prison, or kind of prison, for a while. But she basically went to this country club prison for insider trading, is what they call it. It was insider trading. And I love that, because when I think of insider trading, I think that's exactly what happened with me in Jesus Christ. It's insider trading. He traded everything that was ugly on the inside of me for everything that was beautiful inside Him. And He just traded it. It was an insider trading deal. And I won. So He loves you with an everlasting love. And you need to see yourself. How do you see yourself? You need to see yourself as that overcomer. The one that God really loves. The one He's not mad at. The one He's not keeping score at. How in the world do you think He could write over here in the Corinthian letter and tell you that real love is not keeping score, and then Him keep score? Yeah. Yeah. Are you serious? Come on now. Really? Seriously. He sticks to what He said. He gets the biggest thrill. The most thrilling part of His day is when you just talk to Him. He's glad when you get other stuff done that He's put in here. But if you didn't get any of that other stuff done and you just spent time with Him, He would be the most thrilled. He would be so happy if you just spent time with Him. Glory to God. Following His plan will always bring the biggest thrill and the most pleasure. And then thirdly, because this is marriage class, how do you see your spouse? Do you ever see your spouse? How do you see your spouse? How do you look at them? Now, keep in mind, you should see them the way God sees them. Because, ladies, that man you're looking at, that's the man of God. That's the guy. That's the one God made for you. That's it. Men, that lady, she's the daughter of God. She is the one. I mean, He had it going on when He made her. That's right. See, He'll defend them, that spouse of yours, He'll defend them. He'll back them up 100% of the time. So since it's marriage class, I've got to ask you, is your spouse, when you see your spouse, is your spouse the only one you see? Are they the only one for you? Is this it? Do you have wandering eyes? Is it your spouse, but maybe something different? Or is it just your spouse, only your spouse, the only one for you? Everlasting love. How do you see your spouse? Your spouse should be the completion of everything you need all of the time. But if you see them as a weight that keeps you from doing what you really want to do, you need to change what you see. Whoever you are married to right now, say right now.
Right now.
Say it again, say right now.
Right now.
Whoever you're married to right now is the only one for you. Maybe you're the one and only. That's it. You should be fully invested to make your marriage work, no matter what. Now listen. Listen, a lot of you in this room right now, there's nothing bad happening in your marriage. This is the time to build it up now. Don't let it go slack just because, you know, hey, I don't really notice anything wrong in my marriage. No. Please don't get lax on that. This is the time to build yourself up. This is the time to build your marriage in the Word. This is the time right now. You want to guard yourself against any of the junk that the devil tries to send your way. Amen.
Amen.
Don't mess around with that. Okay, so the first word was see. We're going to go to the second word here because I told you there's three words. The second word is say, S-A-Y. Very important word. What you say and how you say it. There's a big difference. What do you say? And we'll go right down through these three same categories. What do you say to God? What do you say to God? How do you say it? Because what you say to God is important. It's important. Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." And I love this. Read this from the Message Bible here. This is Mark chapter 8, a few verses here, starting in verse 27. And you're familiar with this. Jesus and his disciples headed off for the villages around Caesarea Philippi. As they walked, he asked, "Who do the people say I am?" "Some say John the Baptizer," they said. "Others say Elijah." Still others said, "One of the prophets." Then he asked, "And you, what are you saying about me?" I love that. Who am I? What are you saying about me? Who am I? That's a real important question. Who are you saying God is? What are you saying about God? What are you saying to God? What then do we say to these things? Your situation. What do you say to your situation? What you say to your situation may determine whether you get out of it or not. Do you stand on the promises or sit on the premises? God has promises that are at work for us, but it is up to us to incorporate them. He desires that they all work for you. He set them into motion to work for you, but you can bypass them and just not receive it. See, we constantly want good things to happen. We want our situation to change for the better. We want our finances to go up. We want this to happen. We want this to work out favorably and all that. Yet time after time after time, we disregard the word and we reject the very promise that he gave us for our situation. Partially because sometimes we just don't know this, you know. So yeah, you could take this as an encouragement to read the Word. I mean, you need to read the Word. Your spouse needs you to read the Word. He wants his promises to be actively at work for us, but they're not going to be if we constantly reject them and look to other people for the solution to the problem rather than to him. Why do we do that so much? We come across a situation and immediately, without conferring with the Word, without doing anything like that, we just run to people. When the other people, as good as they are, as godly as they are, as loving and kind as they are, and prayerful and all these things that they are, they still have nothing on this. Nothing on this. So what do you say to God? You need to say thank you. Thank you, God. I appreciate you. I love you. You're welcome in my life. Holy Ghost, do a work in me. Change me. Rearrange me. Do something with me. Sounds like the same kind of thing you should be saying to your spouse, actually. And then, of course, we have to go to the next category. Then what do you say to yourself? David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, you have authority over yourself. I'm going to give you a prime example of this. Might seem silly to you, but just watch. Here it comes. Right arm raise. Go back down. Look left. Do a standing back flip. I can't do that. No. You know, I respond to myself. I respond to my own verbal cues. In fact, I'm so in tune with myself that sometimes I don't even have to say it for it to happen. I can just... You have authority over yourself. And you can control what you say about yourself, what you think about yourself, what you see about yourself. You can. Batteries were already included. It was already fully assembled. All you have to do is do it. You can control what you say about yourself and your situation. You're very blessed in that respect. Amazing how God made us. Yeah. Well, you can just say to yourself, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get where God wants me. Yeah. I can just say it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to succeed. I am coming out. Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just, pure, whatever things are lovely, of a good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Say these things, you know? Say these things. This is not hard. You can decide to think on these things, and you can decide to say these things. I am an honest person. I tell the truth. If anybody in this room makes it, it's going to be me. My marriage is going to last forever. I have a great marriage. Outstanding marriage. If every other marriage around me fails, we'll still be standing strong as can be. I love the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. Boy, my thoughts are established. I've committed my ways to the Lord, and He's established my thoughts. I just say these things about myself. About myself. I have authority over myself. Right. So much of the time, we just haven't been utilizing that. You have authority over yourself. You have something to say about it, amen. And you can decide. It's not rocket science. It's pretty easy. And then, of course, what do you say to your spouse? Oh, watch it now. God's one thing and you're another, but your spouse is a whole other deal here. Your words are vitally important. What comes out of your mouth has a drastic effect on how others respond to you, including your spouse. Your speech changes your surroundings. I'm going to cite an example just the other day. Because my birthday was coming up, I got the notice in the mail that I have to go down to the DMV and renew my driver license. And this time, because I guess I'm of a certain age, I'm actually required to come down. You got to take all the stuff. And, you know, I read all the stuff you got to go through. And I went through the list of things that they want you to bring with you to verify your nationality and whether your address and whether you live in the state and all these things. So I had to have my passport and my Social Security card and all these list of documents and four letters of ID now that show that that's my residence. Wow. So I had all this paperwork. Good boy. Got all my stuff together. And I went to the DMV. I went in there. I noticed something. Something unfolded right in front of me while I was there. I walked in and... there were a couple other people already at the counter, and I was basically next. But I was watching them deal with their situations. And both of these situations, there was a father and son here and a husband and wife here, and they were both doing exactly the same thing I was doing. They were there to renew their driver license. And they were so rude to the attendant. The things they said were just terrible. They treated her like she was dirt. Slobby. Just leaning all over the counter and just, when are you going to get that done? All this stuff. Both of them. I watched both of them. And as a result, turns out both of them had extra paperwork that they needed them to come up with. They wanted the VIN number off the car they drove there in. They wanted the number off the registration that was on the window. And they actually sent this guy out with a notepad so he could go write the number down off his windshield. And he had two forms of ID that showed where he lived, but he didn't have four, so they were like about to reject him. And it was taking a long time with them, but meanwhile, another attendant was there, and she came up, and she had seen this too. And she ushered me forward. I came up to the counter. I said, "Good morning, how are you? I hope you're having a good day." And I was standing there in my crisp, white, freshly ironed shirt and my tie, because I had meetings that day. I didn't do it just for the DMV, but I mean, and I was just kind, and I was polite, and I thanked her each step of the way. They never got to any of my paperwork. They just ushered me right through. I was in and out of there in 5 minutes. Wow. They thanked me for coming. Everything was all smiles and everything was wonderful. In fact, this may seem odd, but I'm going to say it was probably the most pleasant experience I've ever had at a DMV. Really, it was. I was in and out in 5 minutes. Everything was kind. Nothing else was said. Didn't have to do any extra homework. Didn't have to. Never presented my passport or Social Security. Nothing. What a difference what you say makes. It affects everything. Your speech totally changes your surroundings.
Were they still there when you left?
They were still there when I left. Absolutely they were. There's a difference. There's a difference between what you say to God, what you say to yourself, and what you say to your spouse. It makes an impact. It makes a difference. And sometimes, it's better to just keep your mouth shut. Just conceal your ignorance rather than opening it and removing all doubt. So we've got the word see, and we've got the word say, and here comes the third word. Third word. I love this word. This is a great word. It's so, S-O-W, not like S-E-W. We're not taking home ec class now. It's so, S-O-W. What do you sow? What do you sow to God? When it comes to money, are you a collector or are you a distributor? God's looking for distributors. Amway's looking for distributors, and so is God. He wants a conduit. He wants a channel that he can flow through. That's why I want to have a lot of money, because I want to be able to have it flow through me and benefit the kingdom of God. You got to see it. You got to say it. But you need to sow it. Sow where you want to go. It's true. What do you sow to yourself? Do you do anything for yourself? Do you give yourself any time? Do you give yourself any rest, any peace? Do you give yourself anything? You know what? You need to. You're important. You are half of your marriage. The good half. She's the good half on the other side. He's the good half on that side. Together you make the whole. You need to sow toward yourself. What do you sow to your spouse? When's the last time you just did something for your spouse maybe they couldn't do for themselves? Maybe not. Now here's the key. Not expecting something in return, but just doing it because you love them. You just want to sow into them because you love them. You just care. You just want to do it. Love is giving your best with no strings attached except faith in the seed that you've planted. That is one powerful sentence. If you love, you will sow. The Bible has a lot to say about loving and giving. The point is here, all good relationships are established and they are built by seeing, saying, and sowing. When you were dating your spouse, men, you first saw her. There she was. But there was a point, now you should think back, men, okay, I just talked to the men for a second. There was a point, men, when you saw her. Oh, you saw her. And something happened, something special. When you saw her, there was something in her that you liked. And it got your attention. And it got in your head, and you couldn't get that thought out of your head. And then... You could see yourself with her sometime. You could see that. You know what happened. You could see yourself maybe getting married to her. You could see it. You could look ahead and see that this could happen. even though you might not have ever even spoken to her yet. But you saw, there was something you saw. Had to start somewhere. Then it came time, you said something. And it probably wasn't, hey, you. You said something. Because there's no way to get to her without saying something to her. So you begin to say some things, and they were probably nice things. Probably more nice things than you've said in a while. Just saying, it might be. But you said some things to her. And eventually, some of the things you said to her got her attention. Enough for her to look back. You might have even made some promises to her. You should probably fulfill those sometime soon. Some of you might have even lied to her. Who? I don't know. Maybe not, but I mean, maybe. But then you did. You sowed something toward her. You took her to dinner, or you bought her the flowers, or you got her the card, or you got the chocolate, or you sowed something. And it was a progression. You saw something, you said something, and you sowed something. And you, guess what? You ended up with a prize. You ended up winning the lotto right there. You remember that? Can you see that? Some of you need to re-see that. Because if you did re-see it, you would probably re-say it and re-sow it. And some of you need to re-see it and re-say it and re-sow it. If you ever let the light go out on that deal right there, it's just a matter of time. If we're talking real, it's just a matter of time. Because you can't stop these things. You can't stop doing these things. All good relationships are established and built on that. Your spouse needs you to be mature, growing, thriving, to be a Christian believer, reading, participating, practicing the Word of God. Your spouse needs you to be that. I'm not saying, women, you need your man to be like that. I'm saying it both ways, just to be clear. Men, you need your wife to be a woman of the Word, to be in the Word, to pray, to seek God, and vice versa. It's both ways. This is not a one-sided deal. We were at Barnes & Noble, the TCU Barnes & Noble over here a while back, and my littlest son, Nathaniel, was looking around the sale rack, because he's related to Miriam. He was looking at the sale rack. And he came out of the little book bin there with a Bible that he found there. And it was a Gideon Bible, which, of course, is not for sale at a bookstore. A Gideon placed that there for someone to find, because they just give them away. And he came out with that, and Miriam saw it and said, well, that's great, you've got a Bible. And of course, we let him keep that little Bible. It's just his size, you know, it's tiny little print. King James, you'll never understand it, but it was great. He's got it in his hands. And then it was just like the next day that we had a staff meeting in here, and Pastor was sharing with us about reading in front of the Bible, the preface, before you actually get to the scripture part. There's this preface in the beginning of certain Bibles, and we were reading about the high and mighty Prince James. We were reading that, and it just encouraged me to look in the preface of the Bible. So when Nathaniel got this little Gideon Bible, I did that. I looked in there, and there was this really, really neat thing, and I've tried to commit it to memory, and I've almost got it, but maybe not quite. But the Gideons placed these few paragraphs in there about what is this Bible? Because many people that pick that up might be for the first time. So what is it that I have in my hands? What is this? And it basically says this: the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you and food to support you. And it contains comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. It says, here too heaven is opened and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. It should fill your memory, rule your heart, and guide your feet. It is a wealth of knowledge, a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in this life. It will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. I love that. That's just in the front of the Gideon Bible. I thought, man, come on now. But that's what it's about. Now, I don't know if you remember this back over here in 1 John where we started, but basically what he was saying over here is he said, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim, we saw it, we proclaimed it, we said it to you, so that this thing had a purpose. They were sowing this, so that you too may have fellowship with us. He basically used the same principle right here in 1 John. And it led all the way up to what he described this goodness of God being about, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In other words, here's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he used these same three words, the principle of that, to carry this very thing out. And you can too. So you've got some decisions to make yourself tonight. So here's what you do. You decide to make it. Just decide. You just decide it. Well, how do I decide? Well, you just decide it. Remember, you have authority over yourself. So you just decide. I'm going to make it. Oh, it's tight, but yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I'm going to get there from here. I'm going to make it. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to prosper. Just say, whatever I do will prosper. Just say it. Some of y'all, it's hard for you to say that because you might not have necessarily lived that or believed that. But that's what the Word says. I'm telling you, I'm going through life saying, whatever I do will prosper. My marriage will prosper. My wife will prosper. My children will prosper. You will increase more and more, you and your children. That means some of y'all need to get to having some children so you can fulfill that scripture. Just saying. So you can decide to love. You can decide to do the right thing. You can decide to go the extra mile. Isn't it amazing? When the Lord asks you to sow a certain amount of money and all that, and the devil fights you on it, well, if you give that, how are you going to make it? Well, if you give that one, how are you going to pay rent? Well, you know you're going to need tires on that car pretty quick now, and if you put that money in there, you're not going to have money for the tires. And well, your kid's going to need this thing for school, and if you give that, what are you going to do? All this stuff. But it's amazing that the moment that you actually drop it in the bucket, all the voices stop because it's over for him. He's lost. There's nothing else he can do. It's already gone. It's out of your hands. It's sown into the kingdom of God. That's what we got to do with our marriage. See it, say it, and sow it.